you appreciate it. Rome, Romans 1 and 13. Romans 1 and 13. In your little Greek grammar that I wrote so many years ago, let's go over this. I know some of you are working on the Greek alphabet. We'll just go through that real quick. We did that when I taught Hebrew also. You'll learn it anyway, because you're going to learn how to read it. You'll learn how these things sound anyway. But on this page, in your Greek grammar that you have, right here, we'll just look at that. All right. What is the first letter? Alpha, A plus for tonight. What's the second letter?
Beta.
All right. Got another A too. Clock. All right. Perfect so far. How about the next one? Gamma. Delta. Epsilon. Zeta. Eta. Theta. Iota. Kappa. Lambda. Mu. Nu. Xi. Omicron. Pi. Rho. Sigma. Tau. Ypsilon. Phi. Chi. C and Omega. See, that's easy, isn't it? It looks so much like English, it doesn't matter. Hebrew is a different story. All right? Hebrew is weird.
Hebrew looks great to me.
It looks like Greek to you? All right. What is that? What is that?
Elohim.
All right. E-L-H, a yod like a hand, and a mem. All right. That's a mem. There's a mem and a final mem. Two mems in Hebrew. All right. Two mems in Hebrew. All right. What is this name? What is that name? I didn't point it. I never point it.
The word.
Ha. 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 Bar.
Ha the bar.
The word.
Ha
the bar. Ha the bar. Yeah. Jehovah, or literally the best pronunciation, as my Hebrew teacher would say, is this: breathe in and then say, yo. That's how I say it. Because there is no vowel pointing here at all. When John, the reason why I did this now, when John writes, in beginning, kept on being the word, in arche, ein ho logos, he was using this reference here as the word, or the name of God, Jehovah. So in beginning, kept on being Jehovah. That's the way it should be. Okay? In beginning, kept on being Jehovah. So we got a little Hebrew and a little Greek tonight, okay? Little Hebrew, can you write this yet? Haven't done that. Okay. All right. And I forgot to bring your Hebrew Genesis tonight. I goofed. All right. 1 and verse 13. How do we start off here now? 1 and 13. That's easy. It looks just like English, doesn't it? Ooh. And then fellow. Day. Emos. Ag nu ein. We got our word agnostic from that. Comes right out of Greek. Agnostic. Ag nu ein. And then adelphoi. Hote. Palakis. Pro ethemein. Helthain. Pros. Hemas. Kai. Eklithain. Arki. Archie, all right. Two, Duro, Hina, Tina. Is there any more of that? Oh, yeah. Carpone, Sko, Kai, N, Himen, Kathos, Kai, N, Tois, Lopois, F, Nesson. All right. Now let's look at this. The cross references from this verse to the Bible are Philippians 1:22, Colossians 1:6, Romans 11:25, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, 14, and 20 and verse 26, 2 Corinthians 1:8, and 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Acts 19:21, and 1:15, Romans 7:1, and 15:22, and Galatians 3:15, and John 4:36, and John 15:16. Okay? Those are the ones cross-referenced to this. Not, adverb of negation. Who? What does that word come from? What's the whole word? It is, it's got a, it just leaves off the last letter of it. Ook. Ook. This is what it looks like. It's like this. Okay? But for euphony, and euphony means what? For good sound, we harmony and good sound, we go outhelo. Outhelo dehimos. That's the way it was, a Greek would say that, okay? That, can you say that? Outhelo dehimos. Agnoin. Adelphoi. Hote polikes pro ethemin. See, you just run it together. All right? All right. Not I wish. What? Not I wish, first person singular, present indicative active. Oase, omenele, usein. And if you'll look on your little handouts, I've given some of you the little handouts. We probably need to make copies. If you can make copies of them or something, write some back on some little cards. I'd appreciate it. That way everybody can have one. If you look on the present indicative active verbs, it's oase, omenele, usein. So this is O. All right? I wish. All right? And of course, the root of it is thelo. Day, weak adversity conjunctive particle. Page 85. Now, actually, the way this sentence would come off is no over, moreover, not I wish, ye, accusative plural, second person pronoun, he must, see that? Agnoein. Agnoein. We got our word knowledge from this word. Knowledge. Now, how in English, how do you spell knowledge? All right, now let's look at it. Knowledge. Okay, it comes from know. Now, say no. Okay. No, there, and no, like this in English, are just the same, aren't they? You couldn't tell them apart if you heard it, could you? Okay?
In context.
Yeah, in context only. Syntax. Okay? Or if you write it out, you know it's either a negative or a or a noun. Okay? No. All right? No. I know or whatever, you know. I know. A verb. I know. English, you have to add all this stuff to it. In Greek, it's all inflected. Everything's inflected in the word. Okay? Know or knowledge. Now look at the word here. This is what it looks like in English. It comes from our English comes right out of that. How do you say that? Ginosko. But if you really pronounce it like the Greek would be, it would be nosko. Nosko. You don't say canal, do you? You say no. You don't say canalage. And then here like this. Okay, what is this? What is that word? Angelos. Angelos, angel. Our word angel comes right straight out of there, then. Okay?
So, Jim, what's the rule on Nosco?
Well,
because it's a G and then a vowel and then a.
But it's the word.
It's just the word.
It's the word. Sometimes
it's one of those things you just have
it's
to
one thing you have to learn. Okay?
It's like angelos.
Yeah. Angelos. When you've got two gammas, many times you turn the first gamma into an N.
But it's not always that way.
No. Okay. Angelos. You do this and we get our word angel from it.
Los Angeles.
All right. In the Greek not the Greek grammars, but well in the Greek German grammars. Where's that thing? in the Greek, German grammars. Okay? Now, the German grammars will say Guni. Okay? Guni. But that's not the way you say it. Because the ypsilon is not an upsilon, but an ypsilon. They always have it oo. So it's Guni. Now, in English, this is gynec. What is a gynecologist?
A girl doctor.
That's the word girl. Female. Gyne. Gynecologist. All right? So you're learning some medical terms as you learn your Greek. Okay?
Well, that, a lot of that comes from Latin, too.
Well, the Latin is the legal terms. All of your terms in paterfamilia. Paterfamilia. What is that?
Paterfamilia.
Paterfamilia. The father of the family. All right? The paterfamilia. All right? That's Latin. That means in the legal terms, they call it paterfamilia. That's the father. Okay? The paterfamilia. And you'll see all of those terms are in Latin because Jerome brought the Bible from Greek into Latin, and they took the Bible out of the hands of the common man in early Catholic, well, as the Catholic Church began to evolve. First of all, they're going to stop reading the Bible, take it out of the hands of the people, change it into a language that they did not understand. Okay, so they couldn't understand what the Bible said, and then they could slip anything in on them, couldn't they? Tell them what it says. All of the doctors and lawyers and everything at that period of time had to write their theses in Latin. How many of you ever seen any of those old Latin theses? You have. All right, you're getting an A+ for tonight, young lady.
Well,
you can buy them.
Well,
yeah, you can buy them. You can go on the internet and buy old Latin doctors and master's theses. They had to write their theses in Latin. Okay? That's a legal language. And they tried to change the Greek into that, so that people wouldn't have a hot handle on it, okay? Common man didn't know that. Common man knew Koine Greek, which meant common language. Okay, so we're getting some words here. We're getting a few words. Moreover, not I wish ye to be ignorant. We get our word agnostic from that. Now, agnostics say that they don't know whether there's a God or not. And they say that you can't know whether there's a God or not because there's no evidence there is a God. That's what they try to say. Okay? The agnostic. All right. And we have the Gnostics in the Bible, don't we? Those are the thinking know-it-alls, the Gnostics.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Paul had a lot of trouble with them, and Peter had trouble with those agnostics. All right? And not I wish ye to be ignorant, brethren. Adelphoi. Look at that word, adelphoi. Now, in Hebrew, in feminine gender, adelphoi is what? Anybody remember? What do you do to change it? Okay, there's three the's in Greek. Ho, hey, to. Ho is like that. Masculine, feminine, neuter. Okay, so change that word adelphoi. To feminine, what would you do?
Adelphoi.
Now that's nominee singular feminine. Now, there's 8 cases in Greek, so you have to learn all of them. In that little handout I gave you there, you'll see all the 8 cases, and you'll see them in there. But we're not going to go into all that because I don't want to bore you to death. I want you to be awake when I'm teaching. In Greek, the best way in the world to teach somebody, to get them to sleep, is start teaching Greek grammar and all the blah, blah, blah about it, okay?
So,
now, the other thing.
A is feminine.
Yeah, that's right. Ho, hey, toe. Ho, hey, toe. This would be hay like that, okay? Masculine, feminine, and neuter. That's your definite articles. Toheris, kahon, har, throne. Okay, the definite article. That's how you say it in Greek, okay? We call it the definite article, which is a pointer. It's like a signpost saying, there, look. All right, when you got a the before a word, the definite article before a word in Greek, it really means pay attention. Signpost. This is important. Okay? Now, adelphoi. What does adelphoi mean? What does it literally mean? Who knows that? I know Randall knows that. Marilyn, you remember what adelphoi means? out of the same womb, from the same womb. Delphi
is womb.
Delphi is womb. Delphi is womb. Okay, adelphi means from the same womb. When they were talking about Jesus' brothers, and then it says his sisters, it meant they were Mary's children. They were from the same womb. Adelphi. Adelphi. Okay? Are you learning a little bit?
Yes.
And not I wish ye to be ignorant, brethren. Now here in this term, brethren, is used that we're born of the same womb, we're born of God. Okay? God is our Father. We're of the same womb. We're of the same. We're of the kinship. We're of the same blood. Okay? Because hote, that means because or that. Palokes is often, many times. And then we have a use word here, it's used three times in the New Testament. I placed before, I purposed. Okay? I purposed. Protithemi. It comes from pro, means before, pro, like you're pro-gun, pro-life, pro all of that means that you're for it, pro, okay? Prothema, prothema, first person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. What's the second aorist mean? Remember what aorist tense is? That's a tense, that's a Greek. That's right. David, that's, you get an A plus for that too. All right. Second aorist is a little longer in time, and the word in Greek for tense is chronos, and you can see that in that Greek grammar. That means the time element, so to speak. It is a period. So second aorist is a little bit longer than first aorist, which is extremely punctiliar. Second aorist is punctiliar also. It's a very brief time that this action took place. Okay? I placed before. I did this. And it's indicative mode. What's indicative mean? If you say something is indicative, what do you mean? It's true.
Yeah, it
it's true. It's going to happen. It's true. It's indicative. All right, middle voice. That means the volition is coming from you. Our calls to come from you. Okay? To come, elthane. Second aorist, infinitive active. Second aorist, infinitive. Elthane.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that comes from erkamai. Look at that word down there below it. See that erkamai down below it? Erkamai. It's shortened up in second aorist and infinitive. All right? Oase homineti usi ain. See that ain on the end of that? That's infinity. That's not second aorist, but it's infinity. Pros, toward ye. Prosimos. And now we have a different use of the word kai. Kai, you can look up on that analytical Greek grammar by Zondervan. On page 208, you can look this up. You can write that down here if you want to look it up somewhere. Kai here is not really and. I have and written down there, but I'm going to give you a better translation of that. It should be but. And it should be but like this. Harsh. Stop. But. Strong adversative conjunction. Now we're going to see kai is used in, I think, three different ways in the next, this verse or in the next few verses. Okay, we're going to see kai used. Kai can be a conjunction. It can be a particle of affirmation, it means yes, amen, yes, so be it, whatever. It can mean but.
If we go out of this class not knowing anything about how to say stuff, hi, because it means a lot of things.
Yes, it does.
Like mahalo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That is, and this is the way it is. Now, one word, according to syntax, also in John 1 and 1, it says, in beginning kept on being the word, and the word kept on being toward the God. And then it says, and or but, the reason why he kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead is because he kept on being God. He was always God. Okay? So sometimes it can be translated as because. Right here is but, strong adversative conjunction.
So what's the grammatical rule?
Syntax.
Syntax.
Syntax. look at the verse and then figure it out. All right? And we see that in the grammar. But, now, let's just look at it. And not I wish to you to be ignorant, brethren, because often I purposed, I place in my mind to come to you, and then it's not and I was hindered, but I was hindered. You see the difference? But I was hindered. But I was hindered, I was hampered. Look at that, first person singular, first aorist now. First aorist. Each time, auxiliary action, I was hindered, and indicative mode, and what kind of voice? Passive voice. Somebody did it to him. Something happened, something stopped him. A cree, all right, until the present. Until the present, thuro, in order that some, that's like an indefinite adjective, some fruit, carpo, carpos, fruit, carpos, carpone. It comes from carpos, but it's carpone here, okay? Accusative singular, neuter. Fruit I might have or share with you, okay? That comes from echo, I might have or I might share, okay? First person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. Subjunctive mode, that is a maybe mode. All right, now if you look on your little cue cards there, it'll say the subjunctive mode is the maybe mode. It may or may not happen. Every time it talks about you believing, when God gives the gospel to you, you may or may not believe. It's up to you. In your heart, you have volition to make a decision. And it's always in the subjunctive mode. All right? It's in the subjunctive mode. When we talk about serving God, we may or may not serve God. Okay? Here with us, I may have or I may share. And then we have the word chi again. And here, it's a cumulative particle. Also. Also, and we have in or among, the idea of among, you all. You all. That's literally the way you put it is you all.
Y'all.
Y'all. Okay? Ye or you all, just as, or in the same way, okay, this little particle there, kathos, comes from kata and hos. Okay, kata and hos. Indeed, again, this is not just a conjunction here, but now we have a particle of affirmation again. Among or in the once remaining nations. All right, here we have the word ethnic backgrounds. We have a word ethnic from this ethnason.
How do you say remaining?
Lopois.
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 Nation?
The ones remaining nations. See that word, tois, lopois there. The ones remaining. The ones there is what you call a practical substantive, and I don't want to bore you too much with this, but we'll just go across this. This is something that stands in there as understood. Practical substantive. The remaining. But to get the idea of it, the ones remaining. Okay? The ones remaining. Now let's go to number 114. All right. Here we have the Hellenistics. Right here, the Hellens. The Hellenistic. Gepetos. The Gepetos. The Greeks say that their father is Gepeto. In any fairy tale or story, was there a Gepeto?
Mm-hmm.
Who was he?
Pinocchio's father.
Yeah. Gepeto. Gepeto is the father of all Greeks. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, who is Gepeto? Japheth. They are pure Japhethites. Okay? The Japhethites. Now, if you study the book of Genesis, boy, you'll know about the nations and the division of the nations and the division of the earth and everything, because I went into that in great detail. Gepeto, the Hellenists. Hellison. Hellison. Te.
Te.
Tai.
Barbarios.
Okay. Sophois. Te. Kai. Anatois. Atheletes. Amy. All right. Now, we're going to see some words here. To the Greeks, according to the Greeks, everybody else was a barbarian. All right? According to the Greeks, everybody else was uncivilized barbarians. according to the Jews, everybody else was a what? A heathen or a dog. According to the Muslims, everybody else is a dog or a heathen or a... Come on. Infidel.
Infidel.
We have racial prejudice. Terrible. Terrible racial prejudice. In not 19, 8, 10, 15, 20, through there, the Ku Klux Klan got very strong. Very strong. Their ranks just tripled and quadrupled. You know how they did it? Scare tactics.
Brainwashing.
Brainwashing and scare tactics. Scare tactics. Today, I see it going on today. Even as a nation,
right.
You see this today, branding certain people, this as infidels. Well, the Muslims call us infidels and we call them ragheads or whatever, you know. All these derogatory names we have to each other. We're all God's children, I'm going to tell you some people. They're not one bit better than you are and you're not one bit better than they are. We're all God's children. We as races, because of prejudice and because of the nature of sin, we look down upon other people if they're not exactly like we are. Okay? When they went into Vietnam, they called them gooks. If you call them names, you can kill them easier then. If you say derogatory terms for them, you can kill them. The Jerrys. In World War II. You know, there, and I believe it was in World War I, the Germans out there and the foxholes came along Christmas and they got out there, those people, they got out, and the Germans held up Christmas trees or branches off of evergreen trees with candles on them, and they started singing Christmas songs, Christmas carols. Pretty soon the French and the English were doing the same thing. Pretty soon they slowly came out of the foxholes and carried and called the first armistice between the people. They got out there and they helped each other bury their wounds, you know, their dad and everything else, and they exchanged presents and stuff in World War I. They didn't want to go back fighting because they saw that that guy was a human. He loves, he's lost people and everything else. So, we get news from America and news from England, and they say, kill some of them. Shoot them. Start the war. We'll never get this war over if you don't start killing again. It's real easy when you call somebody names. That way you make them less than human.
After that, they had to move the troops out of there. Both sides had to move the troops out so they didn't start the war back.
Yep. Countries, nations have personalities. Nations have personalities. Nations have personalities. Just get that home. They do. Nations have personality. You see all that in history. Paul the Apostle says, there is neither Greek nor Jew nor what. Make no difference. In Christ, we're in Christ. There is no ethnic background. There is none. Dakota. Dakota. What does your name mean? What's your name mean? What does it mean? Marilyn, do you know what her name means? She won't hardly talk. Cass got her tongue. Huh? No?
I don't know.
What?
People?
The human beings. Lakota, Dakota, Nakota all mean human beings. Almost every Indian tribe called themselves a human being. When the Europeans came over here, they would have a pipe ceremony. This is what you call the peace pipe thing. They put the pipe together. They call God to be witness to whatever they're going to do. They breathe this pipe in. It wasn't peyote or anything. It was just tobacco, wild tobacco. Their revenge was sending tobacco back to Europe. They smoked it for different reasons. The Indians were praying when they smoked it, okay? But they'd offer it to the four directions in heaven and earth, okay? And anything they said when that pipe was together, God was there. And these Europeans came over here and they'd make a treaty with them and then they'd break it. And the Indians would say, Are they some kind of an animal walking around without souls because they are breaking the word? How could they call God to witness and then break the word? Are these some kind of people that are not humans, but they look like humans? They're not one of the human beings? Ethnic. Ethnicity. That's where it is right here. Ethnos. Ethnic background. All of us have some prejudice. The best thing in the world you can do for your prejudice is get your DNA done.
Yeah, figure out.
And I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I remember a long time ago when my wife and I first got married, Marilyn over there. I'm telling the truth now, aren't I? We were going down the road. She saw somebody out there, a couple of races married together, and she said, I don't believe in intermarrying. And I looked at her and I said, what are you going to do about it now? It's a little bit too late to come up with this. And when she did her DNA, I tell you what, that just washed that, just got rid of, she's just walking around talking to herself. Why, her DNA told her what black slave came on what plantation in the South or wherever.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, you'd be surprised what you are. Well, I'm telling the truth. You just study your ethnic background and you'll be just a little bit less prejudiced. A little less prejudiced. A little less.
I heard about that this week. I don't know where it was.
Well, they tell you when you take your DNA, be ready for surprises and don't do it because it can break up families and all kinds of stuff. When you find out. Like the Indians used to say, you know who the mama is, but you're not quite sure who the daddy is. And I'm going to tell you something. You study your DNA and you're going to get some surprises. You'll get some surprises. Anyway, let's go on. Where are we? 15? Who told? We didn't finish 14? Oh, we finished 14. Oh, did we? We didn't, did we? All right, we'll go on back there. All right, we got on a raccoon and a skunk out there. Never get in a spitting contest with a skunk. He'll stink you up a little bit. Yeah. Two Greeks, both, and barbarians, sophoys, wise ones. Look at that one. Remember I gave you five or six words for mind in Greek last week? Remember what we did? Remember what sophos meant? I know Marilyn always, that's her favorite word. Sophos. Sophia. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Wisdom. Godly wisdom. The ability to turn everything around to bring it to the good. Okay? All right. Tay, both, that's what we call an enclitic cumulative particle. An enclitic cumulative particle. Page 399 if you want to write that down on Tay. And then Chi, page 208. And then anatois. That means foolish, again, brainless. It literally means brainless. No mind. Remember that we had the word noose? This comes from the word noose. We have Sophia and we have noose here.
Okay. So it's noose.
Brainless. Mindless.
So
noose.
You noose is not going to get the same.
Anus. No mind. Anus is no mind. It's like we looked at the word, we had the word nome or knowledge a while ago. Ignorant is agnome. All right. Now we have brainless. No brain. All right. I don't, and too foolish, debtor, bound, obligated. I am. First person singular, present, indicative, active, to be, or we have the little to be verb. Okay? Now on number 15. Clipping right along here. Hutos. What's the next one? Toe. How about the next one? Tot. And how about the next one?
M-A.
All right, we're doing it. Prothemon. Kai? Amen? Toys, and Rome. Look at that word, Rome, and Rome is just almost alike. And then we have a long word, euangelistoste. Euangelistoste. Evangelist Soste. Yeah. That's a long word.
Evangelist?
Yes.
Does that come from that word?
Yes. The word angel comes from there, and good, or angel means messenger, so it means good message, and that's what we call to evangelize, to give people the good message. Now let's go back here. Now if you go back to 1 and verse 11, go back to 1 and verse 11. Because we're going to see a word that comes from the same root. And it is epiphote. Epiphote. See that one? See that one right there? First word in that verse, epiphote. Okay? Epiphote. Epiphote. Okay? Epiphote. All right? And it means to lust after. To lust after. First person singular, present, indicative, active. It comes from epi and photeo. Okay? Epi and photeo. To lust after. This means to lust after or to long for something, but in the good way. To lust after the good stuff. Alright? Now let's go back and be introduced it into another way. The same word. It comes from thermos, which we get our word thermos from. What does thermos do? Keeps in heat. It used to keep in heat. And then they got it where it keeps in cold. But basically, it keeps in heat. And we got one of them right there, don't we, Brother Randall? Isn't that a thermos type thing? No. No. Just a bottle. Just a bottle. Okay? Prothemo. That means inclination, purpose. That means to long after. It means to be anxious. All right? To long after. It means to lust after. Again, it means to lust in a good way. Okay? Also, here it is, a chi. Chi here is a cumulative particle, or a. It means to add something. Okay, also, he meant to ye, the ones in Rome. To preach, to gospelize for myself. I want to get there and I want to preach to you people.
How do you say that?
Euangelisoste. Euangelisoste. I want to preach and evangelize you for myself. Thus, first aorist. What does first aorist mean? Very punctiliar action. First aorist, infinitive, and middle voice. All right, so he's wanting to do this. He's longing. He's lusting to do this. Lusting in a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way, yep. Lusting in a good way. 116. Anybody read that first one? Greek is so hard, isn't it? Ooh. Gar. At pace. Kenamai. All right. To. Euangelion. Dynamis. We got our word dynamite from that now. Gar. Theu. We got our word theology from that one. Eston. Ace. Soterion. Ponte. To. Pistionta. Pistionte. Eudia. K, proton, chi, Helene. All right. Let's look at this. For not. We start off with a little conjunction gar. That one, by the way, gar, it's like a conjunctive particle. You can look that one up on page 75 in that little analytical Greek lexicon, and page 1190 in A.T. Robertson. The reason why I remember these things is because I wrote it down a few thousand times over the years. For not I am ashamed, I am caused to blush. Okay, now I am caused to blush, first person singular, present, indicative, middle. Paul said, I am not ashamed, to the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. The gospel is good news. Power, dynamis. Power, for power of God. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel is what gets people saved, people. Essen?
Dynamis.
Dynamis. Dynamite. Write dynamite down there. That'll help you remember how to say it. And the German Greek grammars will say dunamis. And you'll hear so many people say dunamis. It's not dunamis, it's dynamis. Okay? Our word dynamite comes from that. It's not goody, it's gyne. Okay? Remember those things. And now there's no ice and ace. Ace. How do you? What is the grammatical rule for ace? Anybody learned that yet? I remember when Brother Ken Glenn went back there to Louisville, Kentucky, and he spouted that off in the classroom. They said, "What? They'd never heard of it before." He said, "They got this baby Greek back here." Extended limitation of thought or verbal action. What is? How does people get soteriology? Soteriology. Soteriology. We get our word soteriology from this word. Soteriology. Comes right out of that word.
He said it last week.
Mm-hmm. There you are. These words are going to start making sense to you, and Greek is not going to be foreign. Soterion pate. All. Unto salvation. Unto and through. The preaching of the gospel gets you saved. Ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It goes up and through and into eternity. That's how preaching the gospel does to you. It takes you into eternity. All the way there. All. To the ones believing. Look at that. To the ones believing. Dative, singular, masculine. Definite article. That's to. And then pistionte. Now here we have present participle active and dative, singular, masculine. This participle here is a noun and a verb marriage. To the ones believing. Pistio is where it comes from. I always get the idea of piston from this. Piston. Because it comes from piston. Piston in a car, if that piston's too loose in there, you're not going to get the car to run. No compression. Believing is hanging on too tight and believing. You know, I study archaeology. I've studied anthropology. I went to medical school for 3 years and an osteopathic school. I studied all kinds of stuff. And when I study the Bible, and the Bible makes a statement of something, I believe it. Don't ever worry about studying science or something. It's not going to mess up your belief. It's going to add to it. But when the Bible says something, I believe it. Now, I might prove it grammatically, and you can. You might prove it medically, and you can. You might prove it historically, and you can. But you believe it. Now, I've been teaching the Bible for almost 40 years. In Greek and Hebrew, that same length of time. And I just accept the Word of God as truth. I accept it as truth. Because I'm saved. Because I'm a believer. I believe it. I know that the Word of God is God's holy Word. It's His holy Word. Alright? It's His holy Word. Power of God unto salvation it is. To the ones believing, to Jew first. All right, to the Jew first. And then to the Greek. Why did God want the gospel to the Jew first?
They were the chosen people.
You go back to Genesis again. Back to Genesis. Always back to Genesis. Genesis is the foundation of all the Bible. I pray that God will get me up on my feet enough where I can go back and teach the next 12 chapters of the book of Genesis from Hebrew. Shem. Japheth. There you are. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The nations. That's the foundation of all of them. And remember, Abraham was married to three women. One of them was a Hamite. His first child was a Hamite. Who's that? Ishmael. Alright. And then he had a Shemite. That was Sarah, his wife. She didn't have a child until he'd had the other one. And then he had a Japhethite. Tur. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All of them going back to Shem, what does that mean? Shem.
Monument
or name.
Shem.
Shem means a monument or name. God, once Noah's lived on the earth after the flood, how do you say the word flood in Hebrew? Hamabul. Say that. Hamabul. Hamabul. The flood. After the flood, right over here, he has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it mentions them. But basically, after the Tower of Babel and the division of the earth, nobody else is mentioned ever again. Only Shem. Name. Only Shem. Because his name would be brought to the world through Shem, the Shemites. All right? And Abraham was a Shemite. Right? And he married his half-sister, which was a Shemite. Okay? All the way down to here. All the way through. Right to here. The Shemites are preeminent. And they are the administrators of God's kingdom. There's a Greek word, oikodome. That means to build up, to dome up. They were the house caretakers. Yeah. They were the housekeepers. They were the stewards. We have an English word, steward. It comes from an old English word which means steward. Steward. What was a steward? Steward. It was the keeper of the king's cattle. He watched over the king's cattle and pigs and goats and sheep and everything. The steward. He was a head shepherd. They were stewards. Israel was a steward over God's word. Today, when God turned away from the Jews, when the Jews totally rejected him, and he turned away from the Jews, the church became a Gentile church. The churches became Gentile churches. And it's still basically Gentile churches today. If you get a Jew converted today, if you're lucky enough to do that, they still want to be a Jew. Did you know that? They don't want to come to God's churches. God's churches is where they have to worship. If you're going to worship God today, you're going to worship in the church. You may fool around out there in the world, but if you're going to get serious with God, you've got to go to one of His New Testament churches and worship Him there and through a church. Okay? Them Jews. Now, when you get saved today, they have a Baruch Hashem. A synagogue called Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name. Alright? Blessed be the name. That's good. You won't see me again until you say what? Blessed be the name. Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name. That's what Jesus said. You won't see me again until you say, blessed and holy is the name of He that came in the name of the Lord. Well, God has turned away from those Jews now to the Gentiles. And by the way, it's not just, look at what it says. What's this thing there? What's the last word there, brother, in that verse? All right, that's what?
Greek.
All right, Hellenes. The Greeks. It just so happened that the Jews didn't use their language when Jesus came on the scene. They were using the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, which is called the
Septuagint.
Every time you see this word, that's what they were using. When Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, or lama sabachthani, when He said that on the cross of Calvary, it's quoted in Aramaic and it's quoted in Hebrew. The Jews didn't even know what He said. He's calling for what? Elijah. He quoted Psalm 22 and verse 1. They didn't know their own language. They would go and they would go to their little festivals and everything else using their Yiddish. But they didn't know what it meant. They were going through the rope. You go to a Catholic church and they'll get down and they'll do all this stuff when the Catholic priest says so and they're going back to Latin again, you know. Hide the word from people.
Yeah.
No, they just do it because it's what they, when they hear these things and they ring these bells, they do this. You rise and you kneel and you do this, you kiss the cross, whatever. Okay? That's what the Jews did. That's what they did back then. So the Greeks. By the time that Jesus came on the scene, the Bible, from about 285 to 300 B.C., this side, the Old Testament was written in Greek. And then the New Testament was written in what language? Greek. Do you see the play on words here? God was ready to turn over to the Gentiles. Ready to turn over to the Gentiles. Also, think about this. The greatest historical writings in church history on theology came from the sure Jacobites. The Gentiles. Some of the greatest writings you'll ever see are German theologians, especially the Anabaptist theologians. Deep thinking.
Pinocchio has a different meaning.
Yeah, that's it. Pinocchio's got a different meaning now. All right. By the way, the cross reference to this verse here is Mark 8:38, 2 Timothy 1:8, 12 and 16, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 24, Acts 3:26, Romans 2:9, John 7:35, John 4:22, and 10 and 16. All right. Number 16 in Luke 24:47. And Acts 1:8. By the way, Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. The Jews ran from it so many times. They wanted to kill him, didn't they? Remember when Jesus was up on the Mount of Olives and he wept over the city of Jerusalem and he said, oh, not so many days from now, this city will be not one stone left upon another. And he goes on and he said, how many times I would have... Have you ever heard that term before? Any of you farmers? That's right. Out in the birds, the hens especially, when they go, the chickens will come running. He said, how many times, he used a agricultural term there, how many times I clucked for you, but you would not come running. When a mother hen clucks, those chickens come running. It's either danger or food. How many times I'm going to cluck for you, but you would not come. You would not come volition. He said, and what all was going to happen? Why was all this going to come upon them? Because they did not know the day of their visitation. Did the Old Testament tell them when Jesus was coming? When he's going to ride in on that donkey? In Jerusalem, it sure did. Who was there? Who was over there? The students of Daniel that were left in Babylon. They came all the way over there. They knew what time it was, what year it was, when the Messiah was going to be born. They knew exactly the day when he was going to ride into Jerusalem and take over his kingdom, the administration of his kingdom. He was prophesying. That would be the day. Remember there was that English guy that worked for Scotland Yard, Sir something or other, that figured all of this out and went through all the rigmarole of all the days and everything. He went through it. The very day that Jesus was born, they saw the signs. Remember when I showed, how many, well, some of you were here, some of you weren't. I showed the Star of Bethlehem. I had a movie that I showed the Star of Bethlehem and how the continents all lined up and they showed at the very time. It was the year. It was the time for the Messiah to be born. In the stars, it even showed when he was conceived. And when he was born. Fantastic. Don't worry about studying science or astronomy or anything. It's going to just bless you with your word. It's going to do it. They were held responsible for it, but you did not know the day of visitation. And what did it cost them? It cost them the nation. It cost them their temple. That ungodly buzzard Herod built that temple there. Herod's plural. Built that temple. And Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days or 5 days.
Jesus, you mean to tell me it took so many years to build that temple and you're going to destroy it down in one day
and then raise it back up again?
It's so many years to build that temple.
But he was talking about the temple of his body. And by the way, Jonah in the Old Testament. What happened to Jonah? Jonah was going to go to Nineveh. Those Ninevites were going to punish Israel. He didn't want to go down there. Those guys, the prophecy said that they would punish Israel. He didn't want to be punished. That was his ethnic background. Remember? So when he went down there, he preached like he hated them. And they all got saved. And then he went out and he pouted. Got mad and pouted. But what had happened to him when he told him to go? Go over there, what did he do? Took off in a ship in a different direction. They had a great storm, and they told him, come to him and said, what's going on here? Somebody's God. Somebody's God is displeased with somebody. He says, it's mine.
It's me. What are you going to do? Throw me in the water. Somebody threw him in the water.
Now, people say the great fish swallowed Jonah, and he stayed alive in the fish for 3 days. He was deader than a duck. He prayed out of hell, Sheol, Hades, the place of paradise, the place of departed spirits where he called upon God. And the Lord sent him back. Now, how long was Jesus in the grave?
3 days
and three nights. He was dead. His body was separated. So Jonah died. The miracle there was God resurrected him. That was a preview of the resurrection. Okay, he resurrected him and spit him out. He wasn't alive in that fish. He was dead. God spit him out and made him walk again. Anastasia. Anastasia. Okay? Well, that's where we're going to stop. We're going to start on number 17 next week. Number 17, the man of loving kindness. Number 17, I wrote a sermon on that one time. I don't know whether I preached or not. Maybe I did in this class. This is the 13th, isn't it?